Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
All right. We have to save the rest for next week, okay? This is fun. Look who has joined me up here. Come on, y'all, give it up for Michael and Kimberly Winters, John and Jocelyn Brockman. Oh, this is going to be fun. Okay, getting myself all sorted. We're like, how are we going to arrange this? Okay, we're all going to sit up here in chairs. That's how we're going to arrange this. I figured that some of the people may want to know some things about your marriage, your relationship. We're going to start this off kind of fun, and then we're going to go deep, okay? Let me find it. Okay, I've got scriptures here. We'll get to the scriptures in a second. We gotta do this first. Okay, I'm gonna ask John and Jocelyn this question first, and then Michael and Kimberly have to answer.
Start with them.
We're keeping this rated PG, G PG. Okay, John Brockman, John.
Song of Solomon ain't PG. Come on, somebody.
Okay, I want to know, when and where was your first kiss?
Chris Singleton's basement.
Oh.
So, all right, sorry. So what happened was, we only dated for... We were talking on and off. We met at a wedding, asked her out at a wedding. And she fell in love with me instantly.
We can tell them all that later.
Okay, but anyway, we were. She would come down and stay at my friend's house because we believe in accountability. Because she was living in Nashville, I was living in Georgia. She couldn't come stay at my apartment because that ain't good. Can I get an amen? It's good after marriage, just not before marriage. So she came down, and when we decided to start dating, we were at Chris Singleton's house in the basement. And remember, we got on our knees and we prayed. And we asked God to bless our relationship. And then I stood up and said, can I kiss you?
And I was like, don't ask. Just go for it.
And I did. And I haven't stopped since.
That's good. Okay, Michael and Kimberly.
Now it feels like the Newlywed Show.
Same question. When and where was your first kiss?
This is funny because whenever I tell Kimberly about this, when we talk about it, she doesn't remember it. So I guess that means I was a terrible kisser. But we were in our hometown, well, my hometown, and I was driving Kimberly around, showing her some places, and we were in the car. But she had this lip gloss or something, but her lips were so gorgeous. Yeah, some fruited lip gloss.
We need to hear Miss Kimberly up here.
And I stopped at a stop sign.
Well, she had something to say about that lip gloss.
Yeah.
Can you say it again?
Fruity lip gloss.
Fruity.
She has
fruity
some fruity lip gloss, and I've been trying to get her to find some more of it, and she says she can't find it anymore. But she had the softest, most tender lips.
Just a little kiss. That was sweet. Yeah. Okay. All right. Moving on. Okay. I'm gonna ask y'all this. I'm gonna start here. Okay. What was your worst date?
See, what had happened was we didn't really date. We started out as friends, and we had been friends for like 4.5 years. And so our friendship just kind of morphed into, he didn't even ask me to marry him.
How do you get married without asking to marry?
Would you marry a teacher is how what he said to me. And I was like, sure, I'll do that. That's how we ended up at the altar. 24 wonderful years.
Yeah, but I remember stopping by to visit her one time, and because we lived in different cities, and it was a quick visit. It was a really quick visit because she had the remote control, and I was playing with it. You remember that? I was playing with the remote control, and... I made her mad about something, but ended up she accidentally scratched me.
she accidentally scratched me.
She accidentally scratched me, and so I hurry up and got on back to my town. It wasn't a date.
It's okay. Yeah. That's all right. Okay, that's good. I'll tell you, probably mine and David's worst date was probably our first date. Because we went, y'all, because there were other people with us. It was a group date, and it was at a buffet. We had this restaurant up where we lived, and it was called Old Country Buffet. Oh, y'all got to give him a hard time about that when he gets back. Okay. All right, John and Josh, do y'all have a worst date?
Well, we only dated for 27 days before we got engaged, so we didn't really have a long... But we're just trying to sit here and think.
This is an anomaly, everyone. Don't try this at home.
Every person I dated before you was a worst date.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Oh, that's a good answer. Okay. Okay. This is good. That was a great answer. Oh, he's a smooth talker. Okay. Wow. All right, John. This is a 2-point question. Actually 3 points, because I have a third point. What was the first meal that Jocelyn ever cooked for you? Was it good? And have you ever cooked for her?
Number 3, I've never cooked for her.
Yeah, breakfast.
Oh, breakfast.
Okay. Oh, that counts. That counts.
Breakfast is pretty good.
I make a mean eggs and bacon. I'm trying to think. Was it a Hot Pocket? Was that the first thing? I'm just kidding. I don't remember the first meal, but I remember her making a big deal about making her grandma's spaghetti.
Yeah.
And I think I had said, like, it's all right. And she was like...
Oh, no.
I mean...
Don't mess with the sauce.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, that's probably
okay.
It.
Winters, do y'all have an answer to that?
We do.
Okay.
Kimberly was in dental school, and I was in college working on my undergrad. We were friends at that time. Yeah. But she made a mean chicken and rice dish.
Come on.
And she
and
said,
rice?
I want you to taste this. Oh. I think it was a trap.
It was like in Chronicles of Narnia, the Turkish delight, yeah. Oh, good. Okay, so have you ever cooked for her?
Yes, he does all the time.
Oh, all the time. Yeah. That's good. That's fun.
He's trying to put me out of a job.
That works.
No, not.
Y'all, David does not cook,
I was just gonna say.
He's not here, so I can't say too much because he's not here. But he does not cook. All right, a little more fun, and then we are gonna move on. Okay. I'll start with Michael and Kimberly here. Okay, what is your spouse's most irritating habit?
Oh, I'll start over here if you're not going to.
Shoes and socks in the floor.
Shoes and socks in the floor.
I am not your mama. No, he's getting better.
That's good. David does that too. Shoes and socks in the floor.
When she gets mad about my shoes and socks in the floor, but then she has her pile of stuff all over there.
Books.
Don't touch her stuff and don't point to her stuff. Just get my stuff done.
That's good. Okay. Oh, that's funny.
She looked over at me and she said, don't be mean. Okay, this is a funny one. Whenever she burps, she says the word burp.
I don't say it. It just sounds
like
that.
She goes, burp. And almost 16 years in the
John
marriage.
John Rockman, you are in trouble.
I'm like, stop saying bad. Burp when you burp. I don't say fart when I fart. Oh my God. Stop saying burp when you burp. Seriously, those are real conversations.
I think that's cute. That's cute.
Burp.
All right, okay, it's your turn, Joss.
Okay.
Get him back.
I'll give you two.
I'm trying to think. I guess because we do things very differently. He is just incredibly
awesome.
OCD. I think that's what drives me crazy a little bit, is that he's so OCD about everything, and I'm just not. So, like, when we first met, or when my mom first drove me down to bring my stuff to move in with him, I had been living out of a suitcase for 5 years traveling with a group, and so, you know, I just am used to throwing things wherever I can because I'm not in a stable place all the time. So I move in with him, and his eyes got like that big. Like, oh my gosh, you have so much stuff and it's not folded and your hangers don't match. We have to go to Target right now and buy matching hangers. I feel like I'm always more like the guy in the relationship. Like David and I, we crack up because we're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then these two are a lot alike.
We keep things organized. They bring the fun and the heart.
I mean, I like a clean house. I like things clean and tidy, but I'm just not OCD.
You just let John do it. Just let him clean it and do it, right? Hey, that's all right.
That would be fine with me.
Okay, now we're going to get to some sweeter stuff. But that's fun, right? That's fun because it's real life. This is also real life. John and Jocelyn, how does your spouse make your life better?
Well, she's my...
Tell him how much you love me.
I was going to say, she is my best friend. She is the yin to my yang, the peanut butter to my jelly. No, but seriously, like, she brings so much balance to me and life and grace. She's like, if grace was a person.
Yeah, that's good.
So she just, I may cry. She's my best friend. And we have a lot of fun together. And I just love doing life with her. So she completes me.
Just like in Jerry Maguire.
Oh my gosh. I would say that you make me better. You just challenge me and you push me out of my comfort zone when I would probably just be way back there in the corner. It's not always easy for me to get in front of people, and God is working on me. I know it sounds crazy because I just sang, but when I'm under the anointing, that's different. But he always encourages me and makes me feel better than I ever could on my own. And he just makes me a better girl, better woman. So
that's so good. Okay, Michael
Andy's
and Kimberly.
My best friend.
And what? Andy's my best friend, she said. Yeah. Fun is important in marriage, together. So, okay, Michael and Kimberly, how does your spouse make your life better?
All right. So Kimberly makes my life better. She adds a touch of class and sophistication me, because I'm a country boy from Mississippi. I really am. And so when I married Kimberly, she brought some culture and refinement to my life, not just in, you know, everyday stuff, but it's just a level of class that she's helped raise me up to.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's so sweet. I, like Jocelyn, probably wouldn't do a lot of things that I've done if it wasn't for Michael pushing me. He encourages me and definitely makes me better in a lot of ways. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
The Bible says iron sharpens iron, right? Okay, so I'm done with the questions. That was so good. So, hey, briefly, Michael and Kimberly, will you briefly tell us your love story? How you met? What? Just give us quick. Go. See how they prefer one another? It's just so sweet.
We're going to lose all the time trying to debate on who's going first.
So this is how we met.
We met through a mutual friend, and she was actually dating this guy, and this guy and I, we were friends. We were close friends, and he told me one day, he said, hey, man, he said, you know, I love Kimberly, but I only love Kimberly as a friend. And the more I seek God about this, the more I feel like Kimberly's not my wife. And he said, as a matter of fact, I believe the Lord has shown me that Kimberly's supposed to be your wife. And so, thank you, my brother. If you are watching by video or replay, thank you, thank you.
Now that's a real friend. Lay down his life for another. That's amazing. That's such a unique story. I mean, that's so unique. Anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, and then although that did happen, I was not privy to that information. So Michael and I remained friends for, like I said, like 3.5, 4 years before we even got to that point. And everybody at the church we were going to told us, and his mother, and then my mother, like, y'all are the last ones to find out that you should be together. But everybody kept saying, you know, y'all should get together. Y'all should get, no, we're just friends. We're just friends. We're just friends. 4 years, 4.5 years. And the Lord and we agreed.
Yeah.
And here we are all these
years
later.
It's so good. It's so good when people around you, that's the way it was with David and I, friends and family see it. And they, you know, it's very difficult, I think, to enter in a relationship, right? When I'm going to get in, I probably don't want to go there. But when people are against it or people see something that maybe you don't see. So it's so good to have friends and family around go, yes, we see that. We see purpose in your lives together. You know, a friend of mine said, marry for purpose, not passion. If you marry for purpose, passion will follow. Yeah. So, okay, quick story, John and Joss. How did y'all meet?
She's 3 years older than me. I'm only 21, so you're 24.
Yeah.
So
yes. Yeah.
I was full-time youth pastor in Atlanta. She was traveling in a music group out of Nashville. We were in a wedding together, a mutual friend's wedding together. I asked her out after the rehearsal dinner. I called her up. I was so nervous. I was like, I think you're beautiful. Well,
tell them what your friends did in the car, though.
We were playing Back in Black, AC/DC. I was trying to get pumped up, like, yeah, I can do this. I can do this. Because she was, I mean, she still is. She was just gorgeous. I was like, she's out of my league. There's no way. But I was so nervous, and I didn't even know what I was going to say. And I just called her, and I was like, turn the music down. She's picking up. And she picked up, and I was just like, is this Josh? She said, yeah. And I was like, I just think you're beautiful, and I'd be a fool not to ask you out. Will you go out with me tomorrow after the wedding? And she said, yes. And we went out after the wedding. We talked on and off for about a month. Started dating beginning of December, got engaged
New Year's Eve,
and engaged 5 months, and then we were married.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
awesome.
That's
yeah.
It.
That's awesome. Okay, I'm going to keep moving. Okay, I want to talk about this, and I'm going to ask some questions and throw out topics, and then, you know, y'all just go for it, okay? But when we were meeting Wednesday night, we had a lovely dinner together, we were talking about today and what we wanted to share. But the topic came up of, you know, how do we keep the fire burning? Like, how can we prioritize our marriage in a life where, you know, things are just coming at us all the time? I remember, you know, back in the day, like, I'm an 80s kid. I was, you know, a kid in the 80s. And we, during that time, and when we lived by both sets of grandparents, you know, every Friday night, my brother and I, we spent the night at my grandparents' house. My parents, because my parents both worked, my mom worked as well. So Friday night was like their night. They would go out with friends, out to dinner, literally every Friday night. They had us at grandma's house, and they had the house to themselves. I didn't realize what they were doing. Now I get it. I'm like, oh, y'all had a sweet little plan going there. Send the kids off to grandma's and have a Friday evening to yourselves. But, you know, now so many families are spread apart, really. I mean, as work and as life has changed, people don't always live near family. And so it's not so easy just to send them off to grandma's house or whatever. But what are ways we can prioritize? Michael and Kimberly, I'm going to go to you first. How can we prioritize, be intentional about that?
you said the key word, you have to be intentional. Right. And whatever time you can make, make the time and make it stick. We evolved because when we were married, we had young kids, obviously. So what that looked like at that time was different than what it looks like now. But it was intentional. So whether it was whether we just had enough money to go get a 69-cent cheeseburger from McDonald's, yeah. You know, if that's what it took, we sat in McDonald's and ate that cheeseburger and spent time with each other.
Yeah, and it does have to be intentional, because if you're not intentional about it, when the children are gone from home and you're 50, 60 years old, yep. You're looking at the walls and you're like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
So you have to be intentional to keep the fire going, to keep the friendship going, to build friendship, but to keep it all going. Otherwise, at the end of, later in life, when what held you together and kept you so busy,
yeah,
that'll be over, but then you'll not enjoy each other's company. And so the protection is to protect the relationship and keep the fire going.
Yeah. John and Joss, how do y'all keep the fire burning?
R&B.
R&B.
90s R&B.
Yes.
Just put that station on and it just changes everything. No, intentional, being intentional. The two other things I think is continually surprising her, finding ways to do things different.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I got these tickets. Hey, we're going to do that. Like, just thinking ahead, surprising her. And then communication is key, to be able to talk to one another and say, hey, I need more time with you, or you need to be spending more time with the kids, or we need to just communicating, having those bold conversations to stop and say, hey, this bothers me. I'd like to do, she's good about that, because I'm so focused and driven, and she has to stop me and say, hey, look at me.
Yeah.
Like, we need to, okay, I know, So communication is key.
Yeah.
I would also say to prioritize time for yourself, because if you are better,
yeah,
as individuals, and you feel stronger and more confident on your own, right, then together it's going to be more dynamic, and it's going to be, you're just better for one another. I know that when we first got married, I got pregnant 3 months into getting married after that really quick courtship, and I was deathly sick with every pregnancy, and I feel like for the first few years, I kind of... I got so consumed by just being a mother, and I did not take time. And we were young, we didn't know that we really needed to.
Yeah.
But taking time for myself, I'm learning more and more, whether it be a retreat, whether it be a massage, whether it be walking into Target and getting a Starbucks and just walking around.
Yeah.
I love to do that. Who loves to do that?
I love to do that.
I could do that forever, but... those things really give you life, and then brings life to and fire to your marriage, I think.
So good.
Side note, too. If you ever want to go somewhere for free where you can put your hands on $10 million in cash.
Come on, talk about it.
I want to let you in on how many of you would like to put your hands on $10 million in cash, and it's legal?
Can I take that to Target?
So on our Valentine's Day the other day, we went to this the Bureau of Engraving where they print the money, and in the lobby in a plexiglass case, there's $10 million in $50 bills. And so if you ever just feel broke or whatever, or just tired, go and put your hands and say, hey, I put my hands on $10 million. Free notes.
I put my hands on Jocelyn. She's priceless.
All right. Oh.
$10 million ain't got nothing on you.
Baby, baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is so good.
Yeah.
So good. Hey, I want to say one more thing about this, because I know we have some young couples here that have little ones and maybe don't have family around. When David and I were raising our two oldest, and we lived near no family, we did have the means when we would take them to play care. Y'all know those like hourly drop-off play care places? Yes. Saved our life. And of course, my dear friend Susan Leahy, who's here, who's
yes.
Anyway. We needed help because we traveled a lot. And so I have a dear friend who's here that was like another mother, honestly, and still is to our kids. But don't be an island. Don't feel like you can't reach out. Like, I got this. I don't need anybody's help. I remember struggling with that when our firstborn, when Cole was little, like, I want to do everything myself. I don't want to ask for help. It is okay to ask for help, and you need to make time for each other. Over Valentine's Day, the most beautiful thing, I saw Carissa made a Facebook post, and she's a single woman, who offered, and she said, hey, I would love to babysit any of my married friends, your children for Valentine's Day. If you need a babysitter, I would love to watch your kids. And I mean, that was just so, I thought that was so cool.
Yes.
So like, a lot of us don't have family around. So as we talked about last week, and we shared, like, we are the family of God. Let's help one another. Yes. Let's serve one another. So and let's help each other be intentional and prioritize, our marriages. So I thought that was really cool. Okay, I want to talk about serving one another in marriage. How important is serving one another in marriage? And even when they don't deserve it. But the idea that wherever our spouse has a gap, that's our chance to help them and serve them. Let's talk about that, Michael and Kimberly.
So I don't believe that it's right to serve your employer, serve church, to serve everybody else, and then give your spouse not what's right, but what's left. Yeah. So you ought to, there was a book by Bishop Wellington Boone,
yeah.
That he talked about. The name of the book is Your Wife Is Not Your Mama. But the premise of the book was that he was going to serve his wife. They were going to outdo each other serving another.
Wow.
And I feel like that you should, your spouse ought to just be overwhelmed by your service to them.
And so I remember a breakthrough moment for me occurred. We had gone on a medical missions trip with our church to Guyana. And while we were there, I had never really realized the amount of work and physical effort that it went into what Kimberly did until I served as her assistant holding a light while she worked in people's mouths and did extractions and things. And I remember prior to that, I had this unrealistic expectation that Kimberly was supposed to be the one that did all the cooking. And so, I'd be home, I'd get home before her, and so, I'd wait for her to get off and say, well, we're going to eat. And just seeing that, seeing her in action and seeing the amount of physical toil that it took on her body, instantly I said, never again. If I'm home first, I'm going to serve my wife.
Wow,
I'm going to serve my wife.
So good.
Yeah.
So, so good. I want to read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22-33. This is quite a bit of scripture, and this is a really, people in the world, man, they hear this scripture, they're like, y'all are crazy. But this is building our lives and our marriage on the foundation, on the Word of God and on Christ. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. This is what Apostle Paul wrote. And we were talking Wednesday night, and John, you were talking about that, washing with water through the word, cleansing her by, you know, serving her.
And not just declaring the word over her, but being the word in her life.
Yeah.
And I want to set somebody free. Like, we're not perfect. There's days I do not prefer her. I don't serve her. I'm selfish. I've done that. And I'm in process. But when I realize it, it's just continually trying to do better.
Yeah.
I'm better today than I was almost 16 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just that scripture said to love her like Christ loved the church. And that's what we talked about in John 15 and 1 John chapter 4. No greater love than one man would lay down his life for another.
Yeah.
And it's in every situation. We pulled up to the house to pick up Pastor Nicole for dinner with you guys, and John Miles was in the back, and she's like, honey, take John Miles in. I'm like, no, you take him in. She's like, no, you take him in. You know, and then we get in the car and we go eat, and then I'm like, whoops. We start talking about this, and I'm like, I should have took him in. And I told her, I was like, so when we got there, I took him in.
I said, it's your turn.
It's your turn, you know. So I just think it's important to declare the word over your wife. There's times where I'll pull Jocelyn and the kids in the room and like, hey, we're getting in the word right now. We're declaring the scriptures right now. We need to speak life over one another.
Yeah.
And then it's important to be the word for her and for my children.
So good. I want to read Romans 12, verse 10. It says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And, you know, this isn't just saved for marriage, right? For marriage relationship. This is what we talked about last week. This is the body of Christ. But especially in marriage, where we're doing life day in and day out with one another. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. You know, a great Instagram account to follow is for things on marriage is Marriage Today. Is it Marriage Today, right? How many know Dr. Jimmy Evans has an incredible marriage ministry? But I was reading this on the Instagram this week. It says, instead of looking for the things your spouse is doing wrong, start looking for the things they're doing right. Yeah, and we can build one another up. And, you know, this works with parenting, but it certainly works in marriage. Do you want to speak to that at all?
Yes. Early in our marriage, the first 3 years were really rocky, very tumultuous, almost didn't make it. But God in his grace provided help to us when we needed it the most.
Yeah.
And one of those things was basically along those lines. I would look at all of the things that I felt were not right with my wife.
Yeah.
And God turned my heart to start seeing the things that were right. And as I focused on the things that are right about my wife, the things that I may think are not right, they don't even matter anymore.
Yeah.
Because I'm so focused on what's right about her and serving her.
Yeah.
That creates a huge difference.
Yeah.
And so if you're in that place right now where things are tumultuous and all you can focus on is the negative and what's wrong and all of those kinds of things, if you will shift your heart and shift your vision on what is working and what is right, even if it's one small thing, focus on that. And watch how God will provide help, and he'll aid you to help you become more like what he intends for your marriage to be.
So good. Amen. So good.
Yeah, that's good. That just helps somebody right there. Because, you know, what we focus on and bring attention to grows. I learned this so much with our son. We have an 11-year-old son who's on the autism spectrum, and he's been in behavior therapy for several years now. But they reward the good behavior, and they redirect the bad behavior, because kids on the spectrum, you know, what they can get fixated on things, and so the more what you give attention to is what grows, is what increases. And so I'm like, man, this is just a great lesson about all humans. What we focus on, what we give attention to, will actually increase. And so that's such a powerful tool. I want to talk about conflict and resolving conflict. Okay, John and Joss, I want to, what was a conflict early on, or maybe not early on, maybe, you know, it went on for a while, that you can laugh about now, and how have you learned to settle conflict?
Well, I'm always right, so.
There's one problem.
Man. Settled.
No. I would say our biggest conflicts that we went through early on, and even today, really the biggest blow-ups we have are over our family, our outside family, and structure. So if you went in our closet, you would see the yin and the yang. My hangers match, hers doesn't, but... But that seems to be our biggest conflict. But we have learned over the years to not yell. We used to yell. I will be honest, there were times I punched a hole in the wall. I never have punched a person, but I've definitely put a hole in the wall. Yeah. I've had to go for a walk.
Yeah.
You know, I've had to, I've just battled some anger because of those things, but I believe we've learned over time how to talk to one another in those moments. For me, I need a moment before we get into it, and then she wants to fix it immediately, and she's learned that, hey, I need to give John his space, but then I can't yell. You know, we have to learn how to talk and communicate, and really, but I'm not an angry person. It's just passion.
Yeah.
It's passion. And I've learned how to focus my passion. And I can get loud, and she feels like it's at her, but I'm like, no, it's not at you. I'm just super passionate, you know. But we talk through it.
Yeah.
And for her to understand where I'm coming from. And I think that's the biggest thing is with conflict is we start to recognize the symptoms. Like, she's being short, a little irritated. He's being a little short, irritated. Okay. We'll shut the door. Hey, is everything good? And we just start talking.
Yeah.
And then we may need a moment, and then we come back.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to speak into that too.
I want to say that's just so good to share that, and because that just to remove the shame off of some of us of going, man, we are flesh and bone, and we deal with our flesh, and every day the goal is that we are becoming more like Christ, but we have things that we deal with and in our flesh. And so there's so much power in sharing that and saying, man, I am overcoming this, and you can overcome this too. Yeah? Come on. Yeah, that deserves, I love that. Transparency is so good. Michael and Kimberly, would you speak to resolving conflict?
Yeah, we had a good bit of it the first few years, but you know, as I've gotten older, I've gotten to the point where I don't like the aftermath, and so I learned that. And I'm not all the way there yet. I can still get a little fiery, as he calls it. Hmm. But you know, I
want to see that.
I know.
I want to. I do, but I do want
to
say.
A lot for me to get to that point now. Victoria and Michael could tell you. Voice goes up.
Yeah, we need the children the panel next time. You don't want my kids up here telling all this stuff.
Yeah, but I just didn't like the chaotic you know, that all that stuff afterwards. So, you know, we do still have. Do we argue on the way here?
We didn't. Not today.
Not today. We didn't argue on the way here.
That's goals right there.
It's because you took two different cars. That's why.
Yeah.
So the most memorable one that we laugh about now.
Yeah.
When we were married, I was a school teacher. And so on Saturdays, I would lay on the couch and put on a Western or something. And then, Gunsmoke or
that's
something
so
like
good.
That. Yeah. But I was laying on the couch, and I remember this basket just gently slides by in front of me. It was a basket of towels. And I underestimated the influence of my family and the surroundings in my life.
Yeah.
I underestimated that in terms of how that carries over into your marriage.
Yeah.
And so the background that I came from, not many men in the family folded towels.
Wow.
And so when that basket just eased over.
I fold the towels. I like to fold the towels.
So that basket eased over.
Yeah.
And there was a powder. It was like the final thing on a powder keg of other stuff. And I thought she was trying to take my man card. And we had a miniature World War III. So I want to just put a plug in. If you are dating and you're contemplating marriage, I encourage you to get you some premarital counseling.
Yes. Yes.
It will save you a world of heartache on some petty things, and it will help you to de-escalate and diffuse some potential problems that could come that you think you're just going to love each other away from, but you need to be able to have more than just love.
Because any issue that you have before marriage, you think it's just going to be resolved by marriage? No.
That's
actually
right.
Intensifies and is magnified, right?
And I think that counseling should really continue.
Yes.
If you can afford counseling, get counseling.
Yeah.
Especially the first year of marriage, that would be a great gift to give someone, is a session of counseling, you know, every quarter or something.
Yeah.
Because it's good to... You find out what it's really like when you get into it, right?
Yeah.
So I think the best thing to do for people is, you know, first of all, there's no shame in counseling. Second of all, let's set people up. Even in the church, we always talk about premarital counseling, but we need counseling to continue.
Yeah.
So good. And I want to say, Michael and Kimberly Winters, you know, as they are overseeing our marriage ministry, they are certified in premarital counseling with through Save Your Marriage Before It Starts.
Yes. Save Your Marriage Before It Starts.
So if y'all can't afford counseling, here's the thing. We are providing a space for you. And so these are the people you want to talk to right here. I'm just going to put that little plug in. Yes.
I want to give a shout out to Joss, because one thing that she's great about when we do have disagreements or intense moments of fellowship. Which another side note on the side note, I love fighting because I love making up.
Oh,
it's the best. But she's always quick to apologize. And I'm like, no, fight. And it really shows me, okay, it's not that big of a deal, you know. So I just, I commend her on that in private, and I wanted to do it in front of everybody. Just thank you for
so good.
Just being
That's
willing to
so
say,
good.
Hey, I'm sorry, it's over.
Yeah. Okay. This is the final point that we're going to talk about today, and then we're going to pray for marriages, for families, and we're going to pray for our single folk here in the room as well. I know we have a whole lot of individuals and situations and things like that in the room. But we believe that revival looks like healthy families. And so we want healthy families in Dwell Church. But I want to say, you know, a lot of people think I'm looking for my soulmate, I'm going to marry my soulmate. I read this week. Dr. Jimmy Evans said, soulmates are made in the trenches of life. You don't marry your soulmate. you create your soulmate. So, John and Joss, can you share an experience in the trenches of life that brought you closer together instead of tearing you apart?
Well, we talked about this at dinner. When we had got pregnant with Jackson and then had the diagnosis of trisomy 18, and then him being stillborn at 7.5 months, most couples that go through that end up in divorce. And I don't know how we did it, but we just leaned into one another.
Yeah.
I can never say we've had a bad year. We've gone through bad stuff, but we've gone through it together.
Yeah.
And, but that was so tragic. That was the darkest time. And we just leaned into one another. We talked, we prayed together, we worshiped together, and we didn't feel like doing any of those things.
Yeah.
It was complete sacrifice. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to pray about it. I didn't want to work, but it's still what we chose to do. And that was the hardest time, but it made us stronger. And I saw things in her that I was blown away by.
Yeah.
And I saw things in myself. And she, it just seemed to always work. I would say 9 times out of 10, when you were weak, right, I got to be strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I was weak, you got, but there was that one time we were both weak, but we were together.
Right. Yeah. And
And we were supported by our church family as well. Yeah. In that time where we both couldn't do it on our own, mm-hmm, we found comfort in our family and of our church and our church pastors. And so we don't have to be, you know, there's only so much we can take. And we do it together and we're strong for one another. But when you're weak, he is strong, but also his body comes up around you. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Before we got married, we received this prophetic word that we were going to have a blessed marriage. Now, as simple as that sounds, when you go into that first 3 years that we had, the only thing you have to hold on to is that prophetic word, you're going to have a blessed marriage.
Wow.
It's like, Lord, it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look anything like that right now.
Yeah.
But just remembering that, holding on to that word kept us away from the D word, divorce.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't going to be an option. How do you have a blessed marriage if you're divorced?
Right.
And I was telling Michael this, that for me, when I considered being, you know, back then 50 seemed old. I'm over 50 now. But
you're young still.
When I thought about being 50, 60, 70 years old, I only saw it with him.
Wow.
And that is
so good.
What got us through arguments and, you know, any of that other stuff. That stuff was just like a, it just faded away in the thought of spending the rest of my life with this man.
Yeah.
And I'd just like to say that God is faithful.
Yeah.
And the fact that, just even as Kimberly was talking about blessed marriage, the fact that he knew before we were even married, how those 3 years, how rocky those 3 years would be. He put a provision out there. I say a provision. He put a word out there to us that he knew that we would believe and receive because we knew it came from him.
Yeah.
And he saw that and he provided that. And he knew that believing that would be the thing that kept us together. And so when you see me affectionate with my wife or hugging on her or holding her hands and all that stuff, it's not because I'm trying to be showy or anything like that. It's because the things that God took us through makes me want to reach out and just and love on my wife and thank God that he loved us enough to provide the help that we needed along the way.
Yeah.
Every time we needed the help, he put it right there.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're one of those that you're struggling today,
so good. Come on.
God puts the help right there at your lap.
Yes.
He doesn't leave you guessing on where your help's coming from. He puts the help right there. I mean, there were books and stuff in that apartment I didn't even know that existed or where they came from or who gave it to us.
Come on.
But I would, after blow-ups and episodes and stuff, I would find a book or I would find a cassette.
Yeah. Back in the day. Right.
A cassette or something that spoke to where we were. And if he didn't give it to me that way, there was something in our church. Don't underestimate the power of a local church.
Yes.
There was something available that spoke to us and it helped us. And in Hebrews 10, I think it's 36, 37, says that you have need of patience so that after you've done the will of God, you'll obtain the promise. Some of us, what God is working on is your patience.
Yeah.
He's heard you. He heard us.
Yeah.
He heard our cry. Yeah. He heard that we wanted the blessed marriage.
Yeah.
And some things we just had to do the will of God and wait on him and be patient to work in our spouse.
Yeah.
Amen.
So good. Why don't, I want everyone in the room to stand up. We're going to close out here in a moment. Why don't we stand? And Ty, would you mind coming to play, bud? We are going to pray for marriages. We're also going to pray for other folks here in the room. I know some of you have, you know, for some people, this is a very sensitive weekend. This is a tough weekend. Maybe you've been through a traumatic divorce, some brokenness in your life. God is faithful. And he can restore, and he can heal a broken heart, and you have a great purpose and a bright hope and future. I want to say, you know, as God designed it, marriage is the safest relationship on earth. And I want to encourage you to invest in it. Come out to the Marriage Circle small group. Take time. Read a book together on marriage. I just ordered for David and I The Four Laws of Marriage that just came out by Dr. Jimmy Evans. Brand new book. Invest in your marriage. Go to a marriage conference. Go to a marriage retreat. These two just took a vision weekend for a couple days to just be together and to speak into the future of their life together. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy wants to break down our families, but God builds our families. And so if you're here with your spouse, I would love for you just to kind of couple up and get together. I know you're already standing together. I would like, Michael, if you would pray for the marriages in the room, for families in the room. Will you do that? Yeah.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Father, we thank you for your grace upon us as couples. Yeah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. You said that you provide all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And Father, I pray for every couple today. Lord, I know in a room like this, Lord God, we don't even have to guess, but there are all types of situations, some good, some not so good.
Yeah.
So, Father, I'm asking you to strengthen those things that are good.
Yeah.
And, God, I'm asking you to provide help, resources, and support for things that are not so good.
Yeah.
Father, we know that we don't have to spill all the beans. But, God, we know that your word says that if we will ask, that you're faithful to give.
Yes.
Your word says to ask, seek, knock, A-S-K, ask, seek and knock. And Father, I pray that you would put the thing that you put in Kimberly and I's heart, Lord God, to be able to stay the course, to stay together, to fight together, Lord God, to fight for our marriage and fight for our relationship, even when we didn't feel like it, Lord God. I pray that the impartation would occur today. For those that would receive the impartation, to stick with it, Lord God, to stick with it. Impartation. Father, for those that need grace to go the distance, I pray that you provide grace, grace, grace on top of grace. Father, for those that need to walk in forgiveness and forgetfulness, give them the grace to walk in forgiveness and forgetfulness on things that will distract and deter from the purpose that you plan for their relationship and from the impact that you plan to make through their lives to bless others. God, you're faithful. Father, I thank you for the leaders in this house, Lord God. Pastors David and Nicole, Pastors John and Jocelyn, Pastors Tanner and Emily, and the other leaders, Lord God.
God, I pray that you will strengthen the marriages from the top to the bottom, from the pulpit to the pews. Strong families, Lord God, to defy the trend and the assignment of the enemy to kill, steal, and destroy. God, breathe life in the name of Jesus. We speak life to dying marriages. We speak life to dead things, and we command those things that are destined to live to come alive now in the name of Jesus. Come alive. I command friendships in your relationship with one another. I command friendship to come alive. I command the things that are trying to keep you apart to flee in the name of Jesus. And God, I call forth a focus to focus on you. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for that. Yeah. I just want to declare that Dwell Church will be a house where love abounds, where no one feels lonely, alone, where marriages are fruitful and healthy, where families have connection. We just declare that over this house right now. Oh, it's a beautiful day. What a beautiful weekend. Thank you, John and Jocelyn, Michael and Kimberly, for sharing with us today. Yes. We got to hear a little bit of the good, the bad, and the ugly, and then back to the good. Really good. I want our prayer. Well, can we have some of our prayer team come up? If you want prayer today, I just want you to know that we're available to pray with you. I don't know what you're believing God for. You know, during worship, there was a real emphasis on the promises that God has spoken over us. And so I just feel like, let's just, you know, if there's a promise that you are believing for and you want to press in on that a little bit more today, and really put a demand on the word that's been spoken of your life. These people standing right up here know how to touch heaven. So I invite you to come up for prayer if that's what you'd like. I'm going to dismiss you. If you are here for the first time, again, we'd love to meet you out at our welcome table. Y'all pray. My husband and daughter fly home here in a few hours, and so we just believe for safe travels over them, right, in Jesus' name. And it's going to be an incredible week. Don't forget about Marriage Circle Small Group next Sunday night, 6:30 p.m. Y'all can come up and chat with them about it today or email marriage@dwell.church. Let's be intentional. Let's get outside of our comfort zones and let's go invest some time in our marriages, okay? Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you that goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We love you. We'll see you next week, Dwell Church.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.